Playwright Mark St. Germain's new play, The Happiest Man on Earth, made its world premiere in the Berkshires this spring. Now, due to overwhelming popular demand, the play is returning to the Barrington Stage Company's St. Germain Stage in Pittsfield, opening Friday night and running through October 8th. The Happiest Man on Earth is based on the memoir of the same name by Eddie Jaku and starring Kenneth Tiger as Eddie. This remarkable production brings to life the extraordinary journey of Jaku, who endured innumerable harrowing experiences while navigating and evading multiple Nazi concentration camps during a dark chapter in history. Eddie's story is one of unimaginable grief and tragic loss, yet it is also a testament to the indomitable spirit of the human soul. Ken Tiger is a familiar face in movies and on television. His credits span The Distance, the Lethal Weapon movies, to The Good Wife and The Avengers, Barney Miller, which we talked about the last time he was here. This production is directed by Ron Lagomarsino. I had it.
Lagomarsino. If you say it fast, you're good.
Lagomarsino. Ron Lagomarsino. I tried. I apologize. Man, it's a pleasure to welcome you both to the program. Thank you so much.
It's a joy to be here. Thank you.
Well, I guess the first question could be, can be, will be, does the idea of the fact that this struck such a chord and made a return visit necessary surprise you at all?
Well, it doesn't surprise us so much as we're kind of amazed and delighted that it's happening, because it's a very unusual step for a nonprofit theater with a set season to expand past their comfort zone into the early fall, which is actually a beautiful season up here.
Sure.
To do the show. So... And it's also going to afford us an opportunity to have what we've always wanted to have, which were student matinees, because I think this is a show that young people really need to hear about and know about.
For you, Ken, at what point when you were doing the show in earlier this year that you thought, okay, this is really striking a chord? Did you know that right away?
I knew that immediately. Immediately. In fact, when the theater announced that they were going to do the play, I'd never read the book, but when I heard what it was about, I said to my agent, I want to do that play. And when I got the script, I just knew this was it. The story is so extraordinary. And the life and the events of it and how it all turned out. It's an extraordinary story, and it's beautifully told. Mark has done a fabulous job turning the memoir into a play, and it's visual, it's visceral, and I just knew immediately, even before we went into rehearsal, and certainly by the second rehearsal, I just knew this was a major piece of work.
What do you think you bring to it in the sense of how you really can embody, or Eddie can embody you?
Well, part of it is the fact that I do come from a Jewish background. So I understand the concept of the Holocaust is one that I've had to live with a lot. I mean, many of us who are sure. of a certain age, we know about the Second World War. We know what happened. But and I never had family that I am aware of that died in the camps, although I am aware of the fact that my family came over at the beginning of the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century, and I know I've got family back in Europe that never made it out. And that's something that you put in the back of your head, and it gives you an affinity for this kind of material. And then just being an actor and what we have to do, trying to feel our way into what other people feel and experience and think, it gives us sort of a vulnerability to that kind of way of life. And when you try and put yourself into the shoes of somebody who's lived through something that is literally unimaginable. It changes you. When you try and imagine what is unimaginable and try and experience it viscerally inside yourself and help other people get there, it's quite something.
Ron Lagomarsino, let me ask you. I'm trying to make it up. Thanks very much. I'm curious as to what are the challenges / joys of directing a production like this?
Well, that's a good question because I was involved with the development of the script, you know, months before we went into rehearsal. And my first task is to help the writer as best I can tell the best possible story. But knowing that it's going to be a one-person show, I wanted it to be simple. I wanted it to be about the actor telling the story, and yet I wanted it to be theatrical. So I knew that it was going to be about sound and lighting more than set, but the set is a great backdrop for what we've come up with in terms of all the elements of design that help to take us through this. Ken it's miraculous from the moment that he steps onto the stage, literally at the beginning of the show, he becomes this man. In fact, his Eddie Jaku's sons have seen photographs of Ken and some clips, and they've said, "Oh my God, it's our father." And he really has become this guy, and that's no small feat. The detail of his performance is stunning. So it's been very, very fun to, and I didn't know when I didn't know Ken before we started this show. And I was, you know, I chose to have a table and a bench and a chair on stage. And I thought, geez, I don't know how physical we're going to be, if it's going to be a little bit more presentational. And every time I ask Ken to, like, what about climbing up on the chair? And what about, maybe he goes under he was so game for it. And, but it's a very physical performance. You kind of relive what he goes through all the elements of the design, but particularly through his performance.
What is it like to be the actor that everybody that knows you from pretty much everything?
Well, they don't always, and you know, I mean
it's
look,
like the benefits, I guess, of being a character actor, but you've been in so many incredible things.
Well, I have, but I'm not as recognizable as, say, Tom Cruise. So I do have a certain I mean, doesn't everybody, you know, an actor wants to have that kind of position. For one thing, you get a better choice of roles. They offer you more things. On the other hand, some of the big stars have no private life at all. They can't walk down a street. And I can walk down a street. If some people see me, that's really nice. It used to embarrass me. You know, when people would stop me and I just wouldn't know what to say. You know, say, "Oh, you're a movie star." And say, "Well, no, I'm not really a star. I mean, I'm just an actor, you know." And finally, I was reprimanded by someone who said, "No, this is very difficult for people to come to you. You know, if you feel embarrassed, imagine how difficult it is for them." And it's true. When people come up to me, they're aware of the fact that they're invading my space and they're a little embarrassed, and I want to make them feel good, particularly because I'm delighted that they like my work. I mean, it would be terrible if they came up to me and said, "You know, I saw you on television. You are terrible." But they don't do that. Mercifully, they don't do that.
But if you look at your resume and the things you've been in, what is so impressive for me from 70s to today, you didn't skip a beat. You were never out of work, really. I mean,
no.
Maybe it felt different to you, but as far as you look at those years,
No. It's
a constant process.
Yes, I was very lucky. Once I finally decided to go into the theater, you know, join the circus, run off to the circus and do that, I've been able to work my whole life, and it's been wonderful. And since I am not Tom Cruise, I am a character actor, and I've had a chance to do a much wider range of things than some people have had a chance to do. So I've had a chance to do everything from Barney Miller, which is really wild comedy, to some very serious stuff like Man in the High Castle or Dope Sick or that sort of thing, and do film and TV and theater. I've just been so lucky, and I love it all. I love it doing it.
You mentioned Barney Miller. Well, last time you were on, I mentioned that I had seen this. I was watching the entire series. I've been binge-watching the series, and it's such a great show. And you were in it so many times, sometimes playing the same character, sometimes there was a couple different characters.
I played the same character twice.
Right.
The werewolf they brought back the very last year.
And then, but then you were on other times where
right.
you were a different character.
That's right. I could only do one a year because I kept playing different characters.
But that seemed to be a wonderful showcase for you. Because when Ron was talking about, you know, you getting up on a bench or going underneath, I mean, you were hanging from a cell, for God's sakes, in that show.
Yeah, I was. The last year, I hung upside down. The werewolf, I was just climbing the bars.
That's all I got.
The last year... We were rehearsing in the set, and they were off rehearsing something in Barney's office, and I thought, what can I do that no one's ever done here? And I started playing around, and I got on the bars hanging upside down. And just by chance, Danny Arnold, who was the producer
yeah.
and head writer of the show, walked by and saw me doing that. And he went, yes, you're doing yes, we're going to do that one.
And the famous thing about that show is that you would go at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it was an interesting show because one of the reasons it was so good is because it had a very tiny writing staff. And so they knew the characters really well and they had a wonderful sense of humor. But because of that, they were always behind. And they couldn't, after my second year, after the werewolf, we couldn't do it in front of a studio audience anymore because we just hadn't had the rehearsal time.
So we would die off.
We would work long, long hours.
Right.
I remember doing some of the werewolf stuff. They'd let the audience go. We hadn't even camera blocked some of it. And I was clinging to the bars, howling at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I was struck by something. I had an amazing evening interviewing Norman Lear once when his book came out, and he said that one of the reasons that he believes that All in the Family was such a success is because they utilized New York theater actors, and he said, and we thought we had, you know, like we looked around wondering why more people didn't do that, and he said the only people who really caught on was Barney Miller, because they realized that the great actors here were from the theater and they could come in and just nail it, especially when you were talking about some off-the-wall characters.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they did that. And it made the show really marvelous. And there were a couple of other shows, Night Court. Reinhold Wiggy, who came out of Barney Miller, and he did the same thing. Interestingly enough, Reinhold Wiggy's widow came to see Happiest Man on Earth. She showed up after one performance.
Oh, wow.
In early June, late May, early June, and introduced herself. It was really very nice.
Oh, that's a wonderful turnaround.
Also, and I'm going to do a little plug here.
Yes,
there is a book about Barney Miller that's just come out about a year ago, by Otto Bruno, who lives in Rochester, and he's a real Barney Miller. I use the word fanatic. Yes, he's a fan.
Yeah.
And he's written
super
this
fan.
Incredible book about everything you'd ever want to know about Barney Miller.
I'll order that before the end of the show.
Yeah.
Otto Bruno.
Yes.
Okay. Ken Tygar is here. We also welcome Ron Lagomarsino, and we are talking about The Happiest Man on Earth. Currently, we'll be on stage once again. It opens Friday night at the Barrington Stage Company St. Germain Stage, and you say, oh, the stage has the same name as the playwright. Yes, that's on purpose. So let's talk about Mark St. Germain for a moment. You talked about, Ron, of working early on the drafts of the script. What is that process like in working with Mark?
Well, the director's job is on a new play, very key, hopefully, if the relationship is good between the director and playwright. I see my role with any playwright to help them further their vision of the play. But since we had never worked together before, I wasn't sure if he was going to be receptive to my thoughts or anything like that. So, it really is about me reading the script. And you know, I said, well, I'm just going to email you my notes, you know, and I annotate them by page and all of that. And then I wait and see how he responds to it. And I can tell right away if he's going to be responsive or if he's going to rebut. And, you know, and there is good and bad in all of that. But Mark was very receptive to my thoughts, and it was quite a real nice open conduit that we had with each other. And so over the first 3 or 4 months before we, you know, sent the script to Ken, we fleshed it out and we tried to mine what we could. I mean, it's difficult. There's a lot of characters in the memoir, and we had to pick and choose the storylines that were going to give us a solid 90-minute show, plus the uplift at the end of the play. I mean, people hear about the play that's about the Holocaust, and yes, it's, you know, he went through harrowing things, but the play does end up to the point where it earns the title of the show, Happiest Man on Earth.
For you, Ken, of working with Mark St. Germain?
Oh, it's a dream. He's wonderful. He's a very kind man. He's a very smart man, very talented writer. And he's very open to talking about, you know, what if we did this? Or I'm not sure I completely understand this moment. And I loved working with him. I did a number of productions of his play, Freud's Last Session,
sure,
before. But I hadn't worked with him. He'd come to see me do it a couple of times, but this is the first time I'd actually worked with him on the production, and it was really lovely.
When you come back to a show like this after having done it, and not that long ago,
no.
So what are rehearsals like? I mean, because you've done it, so mm-hmm. How much does it come back to you?
Well, I knew I was going to do it, so I was thinking about it a bit. And I had to, because last week I was actually shooting a movie in Lenox, a short film. And so my mind has been with other things, and we didn't even start rehearsals until Thursday of last week. And we're opening on Friday. But some of the, we've got an somebody else running the lights this time, a new stage manager. So we've had to do technical work, but the rehearsals went very quickly.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing. I really didn't know what the first rehearsal was going to be.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going to be about, oh, let's talk about the character, because he knew the character. So I said, let's do a run through. And, you know, he was there. He became Eddie. And so we had our 3 days of rehearsal, and then we went into tech with this new people on the creative team, and we're going back to work in a couple hours to have our first run tech and continue to chip away at it and make it as good as we can by Friday.
But I just knew it was going to happen. So I'd been running the lines in my head and thinking about it.
At what point, how far were you in when they said, oh, let's do this again?
There'd been talk about doing it almost right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because the show, the audiences loved it so much
right.
in the beginning. And people did want to bring it back. And particularly so that we could add a couple. We're going to, I think, do 3 student matinees and show it to kids. So there had been talk about it, and I knew there was a possibility. It was maybe a month, 6 weeks later that the actual word came down, yes, we are going to do it. And I was preparing all the time just in case.
Mark St. Germain's play, The Happiest Man on Earth, starring Kenneth Tiger and directed by Ron Wagamercino, is returning to the Barrington Stage Company St. Germain Stage in Pittsfield, opening Friday night, this Friday night, and running through October 8th. You can find out more information by going to barringtonstageco.org, barringtonstageco.org. Ken and Ron, a delight to have you both in the studio. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Again, you can find out more by going to barringtonstageco.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.